begin if you echo Hellas, don't cheat? Where does Sefer Bereishis begin? Seth Jacob's like, the beginning. Rabbi, how old are you? Okay, so one correct answer is the beginning. Where else does it begin? That is the beginning. Yes. So where's the next time it begins? I like that breeze thing going. I like that breeze thing. Well, where's the next time it begins? Before that. Everyone look at Perek Bet. Pasuk Dal, let's all look there. The first thing you need to know in order to analyze a piece in the Torah or in Tanakh is where the piece begins and where the piece ends. Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. Everyone sees how that's a new beginning? Ele toldot ha-shamayim v'haaretz bihibaram. Where's the third beginning? And this is actually the clearest beginning. Is where? Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. Everyone take a look at Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. Everyone sees why that's the clearest beginning?
Zeh Sefer
toldot adam. So the truth is we could summarize the beginning of Sefer Bereishis by saying we have first a creation story, one perek, then Toldot Shemayim V'aretz, three prakim, and then Sefer Bereishis begins in Perek Hey. I don't know if we knew that. You don't know that. You're not holding in the big picture of just how the Sefer Bereishis begins, Bereishis, Bereishis, etc. Now, if we want to get a better understanding of the pieces that are here, let's take a closer look at the three introductions. What do the first two introductions have in common? How are the first two parts of Sefer Bereishit similar to each other? Yes. Shemayim V'aretz. Everyone sees what Ben is saying. The first piece is Bereishit. Bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. The second piece, Perek Bet Pasuk Dalet, is Eile Toldot Shemayim V'aretz. Everyone sees what I mean? Okay. How are the second and third introductions similar to each other? Perek Bet Pasuk Dalet and Perek Hey. Toldot. So it's creation of Shemayim V'aretz, Toldot Shemayim V'aretz, Toldot Adam. And what's most interesting about this is that Prakim Bet Gimel and Dalet, even though the stories are about people, what stories are in Prakim Bet Gimel and Dalet? Anyone remember? Adam and Chava and the sin, Cain and Hevel. The stories are about people. But the point is not about people. What's the point? As seen from the introduction, Shemayim V'aretz. It's how Shemayim V'aretz changed. The story of man begins in Perek Hey. And by the way, this is why the creation of Adam is mentioned three times. Because it's part of the creation story. It's part of the history of Shemayim V'aretz. And of course, it's part of the history of man. So we mentioned it a third time.
Right? Multiple authors?
So there's a very famous question about, how come there's two creation stories in Sefer Bereishis? There aren't two creation stories. There's one creation story, Perek Aleph. Perek Bet is about the Toldot Shemayim V'aretz. It begins by talking about the initial creation. It talks about the initial creation a little bit differently than it did in Perek Aleph, so it's a fair question. Why is it different? But there's no question why are there two creation stories. And there's no question about authors, because an author will often tell a story. Now he starts, tells more information, repeats some of the information as part of a new story. The story of Toldot Shemayim V'aretz. This is basic to understanding not just the flow of Parshas Bereishis, but the flow of Sefer Bereishis. Because Sefer Bereishis really is Sefer Toldos Adam. For those who remember the way Sefer Bereishis flows, we're giving a generational history of the first 2,000 years of the world, a little bit more, right? And we go generation by generation, and when we focus in on someone, we then pan out and tell the toldos of Yishmael, the toldos of Esav. Why? Because it's part of the presentation of toldos. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. The bulk of Sefer Bereishis is God giving you the messages he feels significant as part of the flow of history, because any historian isn't going to say everything that happened to every person. That's impossible. Every history is selective. It used to be the histories of kings and nations. Today, with the liberal response, it's a history of individuals and social history, etc., feminist history, this kind of history, that kind of history. History is selective. History is selective. This selection is excellent because it's God's selection of history. So, that's pretty good. Any questions about this introduction to Sefer Bereishit? Let's learn a piece in Sefer Bereishit. Are we ready? The first piece is the first one we're going to read, right? There's a very famous question that bothered all the Mefarshim about Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Bereishit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. What's the question that bothered them? Anyone? One at a time. Yes.
It sounds like Bereishit created.
Could sound right, but I think there's a more basic question, because I would say in the beginning, what?
Starts with an Aleph. Bereishit.
Starts with an Aleph.
It should start with an Aleph.
Yeah. Why it starts with a letter Beis?
Yeah.
Okay, that's maybe a midrashic level. Yes.
Why? What does Bereishit mean?
In the beginning, philosophical question.
Yeah,
yes? Just about the text. It's a good philosophical question. Yes?
Redundant.
I'm sorry?
Redundant.
Yeah, more than redundant, and I think this is what you mean. When were Shemayim V'aretz created? In Pasuk Aleph? No, what day was Shemayim V'aretz created? Second day, third day. So what does it mean, Bereshit Bara Elokim et Shemayim V'aretz? Everyone understands the question?
When God began.
Now again, you may not realize that many of the Mefarshim are answering this question with what they say. But what's the basic answer to this question on a pshat level? Yes?
General beginning.
It's an introduction.
Yeah.
It's an introduction to a story. And it's important to realize that the Torah has introductions. Bereshit bara Elokim et Shemayim V'aretz. And Shemayim V'aretz here doesn't refer specifically to Shemayim V'aretz. It means, it's a way of saying God created the world. The Torah very often uses the tool of introductions and conclusions that bookend. Where's the conclusion of the story that comes back to this introduction? Right, everyone take a look at Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph. It's important to realize that this is coming back. Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph. Vayichulu Hashamayim V'Haaretz. And now added after we give all the details. V'chol Tzvam. So we'll speak a little bit about the placement of Sukkim Bet and Gimel. Where does Shabbat fit into the story? Especially because clearly Shabbat is a continuation of the story, and what word serves as the transition from the conclusion to the continuation? What? Vayichulu. How does it serve as a transition? Next pasuk? Vayichal. Vayichulu Hashamayim V'Haaretz V'Chol Tzva'am Vayichal Elokim B'Yom HaShvi'i. You want to talk about, was the world completed on the sixth day or the seventh day? Here's the question. So, Pasha Pshat, Shamayim V'aretz were completed in 6 days. Creation was completed on the seventh. V'yachal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi'i melachto asher asah. We'll get back to this in a few minutes. Okay, so we saw a conclusion, introduction, a bookend. What's the next step you want to do when you're learning a piece? Where does it begin? Where does it end? What's next?
What's in the middle?
What's in the middle? You want to break it down into its parts. Sometimes very hard to do this, but here very easy. How many parts are there in Perek Aleph?
Seven.
Six.
Oh, right, yeah.
Six. There are six parts, yeah. You said that too quickly. And here they're defined for you. Generally, the Torah doesn't do it. It doesn't say, okay, part one is over. But here it does it. How does the Torah define its parts? The end of each day it says, okay, very simple. The printer jammed, so I didn't have a chance. I wanted to make a copy of this page. So I'm going to ask David to send it out to the list of this shiur.
Well, no one joined it, so.
No one joined it? Join the link that Schmidt sent out so you can get this sheet right now. He's going to send out a copy of this sheet. Okay? You see this sheet here?
Yeah.
Send it out?
Yeah.
Okay, this is page 6. Okay, but in any case, we continue talking, we continue learning. Don't look at the sheet until we're ready to look at the sheet.
Just 6?
There are 6 days here, right? Now, what's the next question you want to ask? Okay, we broke it into 6 parts. What's the next question? Yes.
Why the ending of the first part is different to the others?
Well, that's a technical local question. What's the big question you want to ask?
Why is it 7 days
the
next chapter?
Why? Okay, that's a question about the next chapter, which we're not up to yet. And not just about this. In general, once you've broken it down to its parts, what you want to ask about the parts?
Why are they organized?
What the relationship between the parts is? What the relationship? There's 6 parts of the story, what are the relationship between the parts? There could be contrasts. There could be similarities in development. What are the relationships between the parts? And by the way, the underlying question about this particular segment is, what is the Torah's goal in telling you this? This particular story. What is the Torah's goal in telling you Perek Aleph? Well, clearly, what is not the goal? The goal is not to tell you how God created the world and what the science of it was, right? Because if so, it does a pretty bad job, right? And the problems between the relationship between science and Torah come up when people try to apply one beyond what it's appropriate to. Science describes how, the Torah describes why and for what, right? The Torah is not interested in telling you how God created it. It's telling you the order, days. What's the point of that? What are we meant to learn from this? Everyone understand what I'm asking? Okay. So what's the relationship between the 6 days? Anyone? Okay, so this is simple. If you don't know the answer to this question, you do not know Perek Aleph. That's not your fault. I always like to say, what you know and you don't know up to this point is your teacher's fault. Send mean letters home, etc. And I'm not blaming them. Maybe they thought what they thought would excite you. What was appropriate for high school, whatever. Now it is your fault. This is now your responsibility to make sure you're learning right. To make sure you know. We get an answer big. We know a diuk. We know that it says Yom Echad as opposed to Yom Rishon versus Yom Sheni. We have a nice word on that. But the big picture, we have no idea. What's the relationship between the 6 days? Okay, let's look inside. Does anyone see any relationship between 8 and the days?
Parallel between 1 and 4.
So David Schmidt says there's a parallel between the 4th day and the 1st day. In what way? What's created on the 4th day?
The light and dark.
Sun. Fourth day.
Fourth day, sun,
moon, and stars,
first day of light and dark,
which are the mi'orot, which are clearly a development of first day, or, right? Now, in fact, Chazal asked a technical question which is expressive of recognizing this relationship. What does it mean that God created the light if there was no sun, moon, and stars? So there are all kinds of pshatim we know, the hidden light for the next world, energy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great, wonderful. But just first to notice the parallel before the significance. Everyone understands what Schmidt is saying? Okay, so what's next?
Continue.
Sorry, what's next?
Continue the parallel.
5 and 2, says Ben. Mm-hmm. How is 5 a continuation of 2? 2 is when God did what? Separated between sky and the water, right? What did he do on the 5th day?
Put things in it.
Boys and fish, right? Everyone's with me, right? Despite the Brooklyn accent? Okay. What now? What's left?
3 and 6.
3 and 6, right? What did he do on 3?
Land and water.
Land. Meaning water was already there. Land is built up. Kihu al yamim yisada. Hashem aratzim la kihu al yamim yisada. And on the 6th day, what did God create? Land creatures. Including man, but land creatures. Does everyone see how 4, 5, 6 is a second round of 1, 2, 3?
Seventh is right.
Now the question is, okay, what's the point? So, okay, shkoyach. You broke down. What's the point? So what's the next thing you'd want to do after you notice a thing like this? 4, 5, 6 are a second round of 1, 2, 3. What would you be looking for next? What?
Why?
Oh, in order to get to the why, what would you be looking for to help you understand the why?
The difference.
Well, the difference. What's happening in 4, 5, 6 beyond 1, 2, 3? So the first thing you notice is 4, 5, 6 are longer than 1, 2, 3. Jacob, we said no cheating, right? Ah, okay, there we go. He's not in trouble. Just, you know, why do I not want people to look at the sheets? I want you to think a little bit for yourself. You know, the sheet is like dictated. Okay, right there, I can say that. No, right there, I can say. Maybe I'm wrong. We have to rip up the sheet or erase the WhatsApp message or whatever, right? 4, 5, 6 are longer than 1, 2, 3. Everyone sees that? What do we have on days 4, 5, 6 that we didn't have on days 1, 2, 3? First, think of the common denominators. Don't say a diuk in day 4, because that would be localistic. Yes?
Heavenly versus earthly.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of earth in second round, right?
Right,
oh, you mean second round is all earthly. Would you say the creation of land and grass is heavenly or earthly? That's day number 3. By the way, very, very important point. Pshat is what's based in the text. Drash is what's beyond the text. So you're going to have to give me textual tools. I'm not asking for boich svaris. You know what boich is? Boich is the gas in your stomach. A lot of people think pshat is what I say, drash is what other people say. Pshat is what's rooted in the text, what the text is saying. Drash is what comes from your belly and other people's bellies. This could be objective belly, subjective belly, there's all kinds of bellies. What's the textual difference? You know, people are so used to, Torah, Livrei Torah being vertlich, we're not used to reading the text and feeling the text. You understand what I'm saying? What do we have 4, 5, 6 that we don't have textually? What's the purpose of the light? What's the purpose of the sky? What's the purpose of the land? Tell me.
Give purposes in the second.
Purposes are in the second round. There is no mission, no role, no job given in the first 3 days. In fact, one could say based on this, and this is an idea based on the text, right? That these are the backgrounds of the landscapes. They're the frameworks for creatures. 4, 5, 6 is now where God infuses, creates beings that are going to do something. Already on day 4, when he creates the me'orot, they have a job. What's their job? It's a big job. We're in Sukkim Yudalit and on. People want to use the sheet now, you can take a look. I'm sorry? Lahavdil. Pasuk Yudalit. Hayom Elokim Yihi Me'orot Perkei Hashamayim Lahavdil Ben Yom Ovein Alayla. Pasuk Yud Chet. Book ends it. You can look at your WhatsApp to see the sheet that David sent out if you want. Now, by the way, the role of Lahavdil, on the first day, who was Mavdil? On the 4th day, which is parallel, God gives over the responsibility of Havdalah to the light, to the Me'orot, to the sun, moon, and the stars, which are going to make this distinction. More than just Lahavdil, end of Pasuk Yudalit, v'hayu la'otot, ulemoadim, uliyamim v'shanim. They're going to play a role as having signs, as defining the calendar. And then in Pasuk Tetzayin, he uses an even bigger word, Lahavdil, otot, moadim. What's the big word he uses 3 more times in Pesukim Tetzayin Yurchet? Memshala. Whatever that means, right? To define, to influence, to impact. Wow, no? Now, moving up the ladder, and one could say as a whole, the 6 days are moving up the ladder for sure from round one to round two. Moving up the ladder within round two on page five, God creates the birds and the fish. And how do you see birds and fish are higher than the creatures that came before? How does God relate to them in a way that he didn't relate to anything up to this point? God blesses them. Gives them a mission through his blessing. And what's the mission, the responsibility that the birds and the fish have? Pasuk of Bet. Pru rivu meluet yamim, mayim bayamim v'ahov yirev v'aretz. Birds and fish have a job. They do it pretty well. Okay? Because it's not just a blessing, it's something God instills within their nature and character. Now finally we get to number six, to day number six. And one could talk about moving up the ladder, right? What's higher, the birds or the stars? The birds, right? Birds have a role within this world of population. Now we get to man. And what already shows you right off the bat, and again, obviously, the Torah is most directed to man, right? And so it's talking about man's place within creation as the climax. What shows you about day six beyond anything we saw up to this point about the uniqueness of man?
Mino species.
What?
Mino species.
We'll get to that in a second. What?
Bitzalmenu
for sure, but even before that. You're correct, but even before that?
Nefesh.
Who does God consult with when he creates the fish?
No.
Why? What is God thinking about when he creates the fish? Don't know. Here we have a whole vort. A whole discussion. And I believe, even though God obviously doesn't consult with the uncle and Pfeffer, right? But it presents it as a consultation so we can hear what the thinking is, Pasuk Havav. Na'ase Adam, as Andrew said, Bitzalmenu, Kidmutenu. And a lot of pens have been spilled on defining what this means, Bitzalim Elokim, the Dmut of Elokim. But on the simple level, it's the next words. V'yirdu b'dgat hayam uvof shamayim uv'beima uv'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'romes ha'romes al'aretz. Ha'romes ha'romes al'aretz. What is man's role as defined by God? Yes?
To rule over the fish.
Go out in a boat, like when they have those tuna shows. They still have those tuna shows? Tuna boat fishing in competition. 250 points, you got the big fat tuna. I'm thinking people really have nothing to do with their lives. They're watching tuna competitions. Tuna, they don't have that on sports channels. Anyway, go out into the sea and say, I rule a fish! Forget any Torah, forget any Mada. That's the mission of life. To rule the fish. Ben, how do you understand this pasuk? We don't have to understand this pasuk. It's just the Torah. Torah is irrelevant. We define our lives and then we just read strange things in the Torah. Okay, shkoyach. Yeah? Anyone?
It's a higher
game.
What?
We're elevated above
them. Elevated. But what does it mean? You're doing the gatayam above
Shemaim? Rodo is to have
dominion. Dominion. Rule the fish. Make tuna fish cans.
We're in control of them.
Control of them is a little better, but is that the point? Control? Like British Empire control? Like, what's the point? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, yeah? So they were realizing God's mission? Yes.
They're just like before, the word Anshalas, like dominion, whatnot. It's surely that man's. It's not just like God to man. Sorry, God.
Don't call me surely.
The yeah. Anshalas just says here, Radha, man over. Or the other.
So you're saying a lot of words, but you haven't told me what it means yet. What does it mean? We're meant to be superior? Yeah. We should have a superiority complex?
Responsibility.
Complex?
Over the other.
We should walk around like this, you're saying.
No.
I ruled fish. Where's fish? Zach's not even here. Yes. What?
To transcend.
Transcend. Just because the word sounds good doesn't mean we have a mission in life. We're transcending the fish. Lucy in the sky with diamonds, man. Yes, let's try an American. Yes. Yes, Gabi.
All the 5 days before are something that God was made only for us, to help us serve Him.
All very nice. What does it mean to redo b'digatayam? Yes.
Maybe it's saying that God put more thought into us than the animals because we are.
Let me just ask you a question for a second. You guys are Jewish, right? This is God defining the mission of man. We don't have the faintest idea what he's talking about, right? Because Judaism is shtiblach. You chew a potato kugel, you have a pickle, you know what I'm saying? You talk about being shemi negiya. What does that have to do with Judaism? What does that have to do with Judaism? Judaism is, making fun of liberal people, conservative people, depending which side of the spectrum you're on. What does that have to do with Judaism? I'll tell you what I think the pasuk means, and again, I'm there. You do, but you got the yam control. The difference between man and all the other creations is that we are responsible to do something with creation. What are fish meant to do?
Swim.
Make more fish. Make more fish? No, they swim. That's How do they do it? They're going to swim around. What's the mission? Now again, this is where Disney movies are so problematic. Because the fish also was thinking, well, what is the meaning of my life? I'm just making more fish my whole life. My father hates me. You know what I'm saying? Da-da-da. He doesn't like me, my father. You know what I'm saying? You have fish, you make fish. You know, they don't have shyless. There are no monkey psychologists. You give them bananas. They're very happy. There's no Rafikis. They don't have wands.
There's no monkey.
Human beings have issues because they're created, embodied with a sense that they're supposed to do something. So you have 7 billion, 8 billion people, and every one of these yokels thinks they're supposed to do something with themselves. Man is given the ability and responsibility to do something with the world. I like the word to harness. In the broader sense, not in the, you know, Western. To harness the world. And you see it in Pasuk Chavchad, you see the importance, by the way. That's part of the blessing. That's the difference between the blessing to man and the blessing to the fish, right? And this translates in a very interesting way. In a very interesting way. The next two psukim, Chof Tet and Lamed, God says who's supposed to eat what. What's the difference between what man is supposed to eat, Pasuk Chof Tet, and what animals are supposed to eat, Pasuk Lamed? Read the psukim carefully, Chof Tet and Lamed. Tell me what the difference is between what animals are supposed to eat and what man is supposed to eat. Yes, Ben.
The animals eat what's on the ground, we eat what's come up from the ground.
Yerek Esev Lo Ochla, the end of Pasuk Lamed. Yerek Esev Lo Ochla, that comes out of the ground, though. Yerek Esev? Grasses? Look carefully in what's emphasized by man that isn't mentioned by animal, it's bolded, so.
Creates.
What?
Creates.
But not only creates. Esev Zorea Zera Asher Al Pnei Chol Aretz, Ben, Pnei Chol Aretz. But call it Eitz Asher Bo Pre-Eitz. What's the difference?
We cultivate our own food.
What?
We cultivate our own food, whereas animals
do. What are the words of the Torah? Zorea Zera. Zorea Zera. Things with seeds. Man are supposed to eat the things with seeds. Why?
Because
we're meant to plant it. There's a psukim in the Torah. It's not a vort, a diuk, and Reb Kivi Eger. And we don't know it. We don't know the ABCs of what our identity is supposed to be. Men are supposed to eat fruits, not vegetables. Vegetables are for the achayas. You understand? Unless they have seeds. A friend of mine told me that his grandfather was a rabbi. His grandmother would bring out the salad, he would take it, put it on the floor, Michael Bema. I'm not saying you should do that, not to your mother, not people you're going, it's mutter to eat other stuff too. But men have a higher mission to eat the foods that we create with, right? There you go. This is the only thing we're told. We're not told anything more. Wow. This is the context and flow of creation. Now when we get to Shabbos, the next parak, and we want to talk about understanding the relationship. But God is adding a basic thing to creation beyond Shemayim Vaaretz. And when we want to know what it means, we look at the next Pasuk Gimel, the verbs. Vayavarech isn't a Chiddush because we heard brachos already either, right? Maybe the Chiddush is a brach of Zman. What's the Chiddush of Pasuk Gimel? Vayikadosh. God sanctified something. Shabbat is part of creation. It's the holiness added to creation. And the Torah doesn't explain why here, and you know it's not the topic of this year, but I'll add because I'm sure people are interested in knowing, right? Shabbat adds the holiness to creation by helping us understand our place as people who continue creation. That's why it always says, when it says Shabbos, not just rest on the seventh day, Sheshes Yomim Ta'aseh Melecha Uv'Yom HaShvi Shabbat LaHashem Elokecha Ki Sheshes Yomim Asah Hashem Et HaShemayim Be'Eretz Av Yom HaShvi Shabbat Yefash. The point of Shabbat is that our work should parallel God's work, being 6 days as opposed to the seventh. And by doing it that way, we show our understanding and we play a role as continuing the model of how God creates. We don't see ourselves as creating something new and starting our own world. We see ourselves as a continuation of God by modeling ourselves after the way God creates. That's the kedusha of how the world continues. That you don't see here. All you see here is Pshat, right? I'm just, because people don't know. Vayivarech, Vayikadesh. Any questions about Perek Aleph? I want to show you how Chazal, the Midrashim that we're familiar with, they understood Pshat. They may not talk about it. I'll give you an example. This famous Midrash, bottom of page 6. It says that Shabbos came to Hashem and said, it's not fair. Every day of creation has a partner except for me. What is that, like Gan? I'm saying, here, you dance with him, you dance with him. I'm all alone. And God said to Shabbat, okay, your partner is the Jewish people. Aww. So first of all, what does it mean every day has a partner? We know exactly what it means. Who's the first day's partner?
Four.
Said some vort. Now Shabbat is like a loose thumb. It's like a sore thumb stuck there. Well, what's pshah? So the Medrash puts in the Jewish people. We know very well. You read the Torah. The rest of the Torah talks about the Jewish people's relationship with the Shabbat. Next week, we'll start talking about the second unit of Parashat Bereishit, right? Bet Gimel Dalet. And the question you want to think about, if you want to think, is how is it Toldot Shemayim Va'aretz if it's a story about Kai and Hevel, Adam and Chava? It doesn't seem at all to be about Shemayim Va'aretz, right? Let's look at Parashat Ki Teitzeh. Are we ready? The biggest difference between Sefer Devarim, context is critical to text. You have to interview text's criminal cousin. Who is the criminal cousin of text? Context. Not so good. Criminal cousin of text is context, but it's critical to understand text's criminal past. If you want to understand any text, you got to understand. Sefer Devarim is different than all the other Svarim in the Torah in that. It's that definitely is true, but from the beginning you see it. What the format of it is different, yeah.
Speech.
Ela hadvarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. It's speeches of Moshe Rabbeinu, not all of it, by the way, but the bulk of it. You don't have the most of the Devarim. You don't have the Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe stuff. Now that's why it's so important when you're learning Sefer Devarim to tune into where each of Moshe's speeches begin and end, and there are a number. Parshas Ki Teitzeh is towards the end of the central speech given by Moshe Rabbeinu, where he's telling the Jewish people the mitzvos that they have to keep in Eretz Yisrael. If we had more time, I would speak more about this context. But part of the problem is you just tune in the middle of something. You have to know what am I doing? Where am I? It's a long mitzvah speech, 22 prakim long. And one of the most basic questions of understanding the flow is a question David asked this last Shabbos, which is the beginning of Parshas Ki Teitzeh seems to be a continuation of Parshas Shoftim. What do I mean? What were the last segments of Parshat Shoftim about? How did each of them begin, beginning in Perek Chaf? Let's look at Perek Chaf and Parshat Shoftim. Ki teitzeh lemilchama levecha, and you're afraid? Don't be afraid. That's the first part. Where does the second unit start of Perek Chaf? Where does the second unit of Perek Chaf begin after Pasuk?
Yud.
The first stage was Ki teitzeh lemilchama. The next stage is Ki Tikrav El Ir Li Lachem Aleh. You get to the city and you're laying siege. Don't knock down the trees, right?
Ki Tzor El Yotes.
Be sent for peace. Then Pasuk Yotet. Ki Tzor Al Ir Yamim Rabim. You're laying siege for many years. Perich of Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Ki Matzei Chalal Pashup Shad. After war, there are a lot of dead bodies, right? Then Pasuk Yud. Parshat Ki Teitzeh. That's why the Christians have it as one long parak. Ki Teitzeh Le Milchama Aloi Vecho. So why is it a separate parsha? Anyone understands the question? We're still talking about war. What is it good for?
Nothing.
Absolutely not. Say it again. War. What is it good for? The problem is stopping that. You know what I'm saying? Because absolutely nothing. You're saying war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War is good for a lot of things. It's good for the economy. It's good for morale. It's good for taking out frustration. I wouldn't say it's good for absolutely nothing. That's a little bit harsh. War. What is it good for? Tremendous amount. War. Just the United States. How did they become a power in the 20th century? More. What is it good for? The United States and Donald Trump. You know, he wants to beat up on North Korea. It'll divert everyone's attention. Let's look at Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Now here you got a key question about Parshas. Parshas Ki Teitzeh is the Parshas in the Torah with the most mitzvahs. You move Pasuk to Pasuk, bing, bing, another mitzvah, seems totally unrelated. You're wondering what's going on. The goal of the Torah is not to give you the details of the mitzvah, because if it was, it did a very bad job, and the Torah knows how to do a good job. What do I mean? There are some mitzvah the Torah talks about for prakim, and get so many details that are coming out of your ears. And there are some mitzvah the Torah says, just do this, and I'm not telling you anything. Okay, what color? What shape? What should be written in them? I don't know. The Torah's goal is not to tell you the details of mitzvahs. The Torah's goal is to present mitzvahs in a context where we show you what the goals of mitzvot are. When you're looking at a parasha like Ki Teitzeh, or Kedoshim, or Mishpatim, lists of mitzvah, what are you looking for? Think based upon what we've seen thus far. What are you looking for?
Relationships.
Are there threads? Are there themes that run through the parasha? So let's start. What's the first piece about? Ki Teitzeh Lemilchama Olevecha. What's the topic?
Yifator.
What? Eshet Yifator. Marrying a woman. You marry this Eshet Yifator. Does marriage appear anywhere else in this parsha? Yes, my question assumes that you know something about the parsha. Yes?
The very next part has two wives and one's eight.
Well, that we'd see as a continuation, a natural continuation, which Chazal explained. But does it appear somewhere later, which isn't a continuation? Kikach esh isha. If you've ever learned any of the laws of Kiddushin, where does that appear? Chapter and verse? Perek Chaf Bet? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Anywhere else in the parsha? That's not marriage. What? Moti Shema, Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Let's give out the sheet, which did come out of the printer, Baruch Hashem. This sheet, you have four pages. We like to save the trees. Let's pass them on today. Let's go. Let's keep going. Let's pass them on today. Let's go. Yeah. We're waiting. We could take time, but this is the booklet we use for this year, which everyone will get in Mirtz Hashem. We just want to show it. Oh, booklet. Not hot cover. There you go. Okay, so if you look, there are three units in the Parsha that each begin with a marriage. The marriage is described as a kicha. Right, everyone's with me? Each of those units has after it a problem that's a result of what's going on in this problematic marriage. For example, the first marriage of the Ishi Yifator, we know what the problem is, right? You're not marrying her for who she is. You're marrying her because you wanted sex during a war. What is it good for? What comes after Ishi Yifator? What comes next? The two wives, right, with a problem, which leads to a child who's hated, right? Mm-hmm. What does that lead to? Leads to Ben Sora Amor. It leads to social problems. It leads to Ben Sora Amor, right? Let's look at the next unit. What's the problem with the next marriage? You don't like the woman, so what do you do? Instead of separating, you start spreading rumors, right? You start spreading rumors. If she did it, Uviyarta Arami Kirbecha. If you didn't, we punish him, right? The Nara has a chet mishpat mavet. There's rape. Comes out of this problematic marriage, right? Third round. Divorce. Right? Shiluach. The words are similar to the words used by Eshet Yifator. Everyone's with me here? Kidnap comes next. Again, the term uviyarta harami kirbecha. The bolds are to emphasize the similar words that appear in each unit. What's the flow of ideas here?
Bad relationships.
Social problems begin in family problems. The best proof of this is the 21st century. The best proof is just to look outside. Social problems, the problems identified here are rape, kidnapping, abuse of other people, begins when people are abusing each other within families. Or as Eleanor Roosevelt said, society is the family writ large. Society is basically how a family is applied outside the walls of the local family. By the way, if you take a look at the sheet you have in your hands, page 193 is an example of guiding questions on the Parsha. Just to see what you would be doing if you decided to prepare. Parsha 194 is about the three units of families that fall apart, which makes sense of the flow of mitzvos here in these ideas. And after questions, we'll go a little bit longer. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things we have at the end of the Parsha. Don't look yet. We'll look at the sheets after we look inside the Chumash. Well, I'm going to need this for now. I'll give it to you after. Okay, anyone? Yes, next. Go. Questions? Yes. The last part of this unit of families falling apart, etc., it concludes. Let's tune in Perikov Dalid. Perikov Dalid, let's tune in. We're all tuning in. Perikov Dalid. Pazuk Ched is where it ends. Or Zion, depending on how you see it, but it's not. Yeah. You see, Pasuk Zion, Ki Matzeish Gonev Nefesh Meichav Mivnei Yisrael, a kidnapper, Macharo Meitakanavu Viarta Harami Kirbecha. Then suddenly we start Tzaras. Nothing to do with what came before. It's in Tzaras. Let's tune in here in the end of the parsha from Pasuk Chet to the end of the parsha. What are we looking for? Relationships, similarities, difference. Do you see any themes that run through? Everyone understands the unit we're looking at from Pasuk Chet, Perikov Dal Pasuk Chet to the end of the parsha. I'm sorry, what?
Relationships with the people not in the family.
That's what it's not. But what is it? Yes.
Societal relationships. Like,
well, we had society before too. Look for textual clues. Yes.
Speaking badly or mistreating other people.
That's definitely here, but there's stronger textual clues. Let me show you what I mean. Pasuk Tet. Let's read it together. Pasuk Tet clearly connects to Pasuk Chet. How? Be careful about Tzaraat. Remember what God did to Miriam. What did God do to Miriam? Tzaraat. Zechor et asher asa Hashem Elokecha leMiriam b'derech b'tzeitchem mimitzrayim. Everyone with me? Let's look at the last part of the parasha. Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin. Zechor et asher asa lecha Amalek b'derech b'tzeitchem mimitzrayim. What do we call this? Okay. Bookends. In the middle of this unit, what do we have? Everyone take a look at Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Chet. V'zacharata ki eved hayita b'mitzrayim. Pasuk Chaf Bet. V'zacharata ki eved hayita b'eretz mitzrayim al ken anochi mitzavcha la'asot tadavar hazeh. This is a unit teaching us lessons we're meant to learn from our experience in Egypt and leaving Egypt. Everyone's with me? If you take a look at page 195, you can see how there are many more repetitions here. And I'll show you what I mean. We had the first piece and the last piece. Remembering what God did, others did, but Derek was Ezra Mitzrayim. You see how that's parallel, right? The second piece talks about Tzedek and Staka. The second to last piece, again, Tzedek. The third piece, how you relate to Achecha, the mercy you should show to your brother. The third piece from the end, again, the mercy for a brother. The fourth piece in the middle, not brother, but the broader society, Ger, Yosam, and Almana. If we had more time, I would develop this. But this is basically a unit that speaks about social justice, not social sins. That was the first piece. The responsibility to care for people who you live amongst as being based on our experience in Mitzrayim. By the way, this kind of structure, A, B, C, D, C, B, A, is called chiastic structure, based on the letter X, which in Greek is chias. Right. A, B, B, A. The Torah uses two types of structures where it repeats, like we had in Bereshit, A, B, C, A, B, C. Right? A1, B1, C1, A2, B2, C2. Sometimes it reverses the order, which creates a cohesive whole. Stories are still told that way, this way, okay, etc. If we had more time, we would talk about this. The last thing I want to talk about, and we're seeing three models today of textual analysis. One, a story with two parts, but part A builds off the second, right? We saw big units, small units, chiastic structures. We're going to see one more example of the Torah very often repeats things, right? Mitzvot that are repeated. Why is the Torah repeating it? Before we even know the answer, we know the answer because it's teaching us something more. Not just a diuk of one word that we couldn't learn. That diuk could have written one word the first time. It's a new context. The mitzvah fits in with a new context and has a new lesson to teach. An excellent example is the last piece of Parshas Ki Tetzeh, which is about... Amalek. It's about Amalek. We learned about Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach. Those who want to turn back, you can look at, if you want, you don't have to, but Perek Yud Zayin, the whole story with the war, the tzivui to destroy them in the future, right? Why is it repeated here? And by the way, Judaism emphasizes Dafka this piece. How do we know we emphasize Dafka this piece? When we read Parshas Zacha, we read this one. So like, what's so special about this piece? Yes? There's definitely a difference, yes? That's a diuk, a fair, correct diuk, but there's something much more bigger going on.
This was in the context of social justice.
Yeah, maybe, but it's much bigger. Yes? Yeah. These are all nice diyukim and nice, but that's not what the Torah is saying here. The Torah says much more.
It says what they did.
We heard what they did last time, right? This is just summarizing because I'm not telling it now. What? What does it say now is different? Shekarcha baderech. Okay, fine. You know, these are local points. I'm talking about the big point. Yes.
It's talking about like when they go into the land.
It's talking about when you get to Eretz Yisrael, which is all what Sefer Devarim is about. If you take a look at the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Amud Bet, which appears on page 196, the Mechias Amalek Be'Eretz Yisrael page, the three mitzvahs the Jews are mitzvah to do when they get to Eretz Yisrael, Melech, Amalek, Beis Abchira, right? Where do we learn about the connection of destroying Amalek and Eretz Yisrael from? Here. And that's how the parsha is structured here. If you take a look here, you can see on page 196, we start Zachor at the Shara Sadacha Amalek, and how do we end off? Timcha at Zechar Amalek. It's so interesting. We're supposed to remember Amalek, but erase their memory. Zachor at the Shara Sadacha Amalek, Timcha es Zechar Amalek. Lo tishkach. Don't forget to remember to erase their memory. Pasuk Bet. Remember what they did. Baderech. B'tzeitcha mimitzrayim. Asher karcha baderech. Ve'ata oyef v'yogea v'lo yorei Elokim. Remember how they took advantage of you when you were traveling tired, weary, and a people without a base. Pasuk Gimel. V'hoya behaniach Hashem Elokecha l'cha mikol evecha misaviv. When God brings you to a state when you're finally settled. Ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha, repeat, notein lecha nachal al rishta, the aretz as opposed to the derech, the haniach as opposed to the alyefi yageya, timcha etzecha, amalek mitachat ramam lo tishkach, amalek is bad, you have to destroy them, irrespective of Eretz Yisrael. But there's something specific about destroying amalek as you settle in Eretz Yisrael. It's part of that process because amalek is a remnant of the days when we were unsettled, insecure, defenseless, in transition. Part of the Jewish people realizing their permanent, eternal, settled destiny is dealing with Amalek. That's what you learn from here. Now, is what you said correct? All these things are correct. There's a finish. Okay, but that's not the point that I was making here, right? How do I know? I'm reading the text, right? Now again, do the words say it? Yes. Do the words say it even more when you appreciate the flow and structure? Absolutely. And the contrast between how the Torah describes here what Amalek did and how the Torah describes your response before the line and after the line. Josh, what's the most important word here? Karcho or Baderech? Chazal talk a lot about the word Karcho. And of course, in Midrashic, we have to do it. Asher Karcho Baderech. And of course, the Baderech Betzeichem Mitzrayim we talked about by Miriam, so it's a continuation of that, right? The things that happen when you were on the way. Think about it when you arrive at your location. We did it very fast. A lot to do, because we're trying to multitask and do the air conditioning at the same time. Schmidt, you're responsible by next week. Air conditioning. Okay? And next week we'll try and start on time. And we'll keep moving. Because we're double teaming, right? Gracious. Kitavo. Noach. Nitzavim. I wish you have a great week. Shkoyach. $8,000. Did you learn with Lipschitz?
Yeah.
Jewish guy?
I like it.